Thanks for the intro. And I love having chats with people before I get started because it makes me feel like a human being instead of just like talking at my camera to the invisible people out there. So hi, invisible people. I'm Trisha. I'm a Java champion and a Java advocacy lead at JetBrains now because now I have a team of four people. And I'm going to talk about modern Java with IntelliJ IDEA. I'm really pleased, like I said, I'm really pleased with what Venkat covered beforehand because he talked about a lot of the new modern Java features. So I don't necessarily have to talk specifically about what this feature is or why it exists. I can focus a lot on how IntelliJ IDEA will help you to migrate to use the new features in Java should you be using a new version of Java. So let's first define modern Java because, you know, this could mean anything that I'm not using, basically. I really mean anything from Java 8 onwards. And the reason I mean anything from Java 8 onwards is that a majority of surveys are looking at what versions of Java engineers are using. The majority of Java developers are still using Java 8. So pretty much anything beyond Java 8, which, by the way, is the title of another talk I give, is what I call modern Java. So these are the survey results from the JetBrains developer ecosystem from this year. So it only goes up to Java 13 because it's asking questions from last year. However, you might think from that you have a whole bunch of options to choose from when you're migrating, when you're upgrading from Java 8, because the current version of Java is Java 15. So I could basically upgrade to what? Any version of Java from Java 8 to Java 15? No, in reality, you have two main options, which I'm not going to go into the reasons for that right now because I only have 25 minutes and I'm going to have to speak very quickly as it is. Your two main options are to upgrade to Java 11, which is the most recent long-term support release. This is going to be supported by a bunch of vendors for probably 3 or more years, which means that if you're working in an enterprise and you want a nice, stable release to upgrade to, probably Java 11 is the one that you're going to aim for. The other option is to go full on to Java 15. This is the most recent version of Java. Java is now coming out every 6 months, which I'm sure a bunch of people have said so far in this conference. And so we're getting new releases every 6 months, but you don't need to worry about all those releases. Just always be looking at the current version and be aware that it will be replaced in 6 months' time. Or in our case, where are we? October, so in 5 months' time. So IntelliJ IDEA can help you to use the new features that are available in Java, because the thing is, if you're going to get a new release of Java every 6 months, you might feel like you're going to be spending your whole time researching new versions of Java and what new features are available to you. Me, I can be a very lazy developer, which I consider to be a plus, not a negative. And I kind of let IntelliJ IDEA tell me, did you know about this new feature in Java? It can help you with it can help you in this particular case. You can use new versions of Java. And I've been doing that for since before I was actually a developer advocate for JetBrains. So let's go straight in. How can IntelliJ IDEA help you? Firstly, right, let's go. I promised a live demo because it's always a live demo. IntelliJ IDEA, you can, as you probably know, you go to your project structure, you can pick the version of Java that you want. New versions of IntelliJ IDEA go one step further. So you don't just have to download and install Java independent of IntelliJ IDEA. You will also see detected versions, detected JDKs anywhere on your machine. And you can even add a JDK by downloading one. And if you select to download one, you can pick the version that you want to use and you can pick the vendor because there are a bunch of different vendors in this space, so you don't have to just stick with one. So this is quite a nice new-ish feature in IntelliJ IDEA. So it helps you to also manage your versions of Java so that you can upgrade more easily. I'll come back to the screen in a little bit later because there's some other things to look at here. But let's just go straight on. So I do have a lot to cram into this short amount of time. So I'm afraid I am going to speak very quickly. So you might just have to play back the video afterwards in slow motion. Right, let's look at the features available in Java 11. I've grouped this into two parts. So Java 11 and Java 15. In Java 11, we have var. Var is the first thing I'm going to look at. This might sound like a small and not super exciting feature. Let's have a look. It's also called LVTI, local variable type interface. So var is a straightforward feature. It is as simple as if I Alt and Enter, you'll see down at the bottom the keyboard shortcuts I'm using for IntelliJ IDEA. A lot of them are literally just going to be Alt and Enter. And you can see here it says replace explicit type with var. So it's as simple as this. I can use var to declare my variables. They have to be local variables. It doesn't work on fields. I can also, if I want, with Alt and Enter, I can say, okay, actually, I'm not really sure about that. Let's put it back to the explicit type. Now, the reason why var is kind of useful and interesting is Java gets a lot of accusations of a huge amount of boilerplate. And this is one case where you can see, wait, I say this word on this side, and then I say this word on this side as well. Not really sure I need to declare it on both sides. So I can replace that with a var. And then this is syntactic sugar. So under the covers, the compiler is still doing exactly the same thing it was doing before. So it's really just to make your life easier as a developer. So you can get IntelliJ IDEA to do that for you. If you really want to, you might want to have a look replace explicit type with var. In IntelliJ IDEA, you might want to edit this inspection setting. So you might want to say, at the moment, it's set to no highlighting, only fix, which means don't warn me everywhere that I could use var, because I really want to pick and choose, because it's the sort of thing that depends on readability. Does it make the code more readable or not? I want to make that decision. You might want to set it to a weak warning, in which case it's going to give you, it's going to gray out all the places that you could use var instead. There's a good chance you don't want to do that because it looks like an error. And it's not really an error. It's just a choice that you have. Hold on. Let's bring that back up. Alt and Enter, edit inspection profile setting. And I want to set that back to no highlighting, only fix. Okay. So where might I want to use var? I always spent ages talking about var and I really don't have the time. So you might want to just apply var anywhere where you really don't need to declare it two times because you've got buffered reader over there. Where you might not want to apply var, but IntelliJ will allow you to, is somewhere like this where I have my variable name is not very helpful, and the method that gives me my type is not very helpful. So then I might want to put the type information somewhere. IntelliJ also helps you with this because it actually gives you this thing called inlay hints, which gives you the type information. It kind of annotates your code with the type annotation, type information. This can be very helpful, particularly in these cases where you don't know what the type is, but it's also kind of a little bit defeating the point of actually using var at all. So because you kind of want to reduce the noise in your code. I'm speaking super fast. It doesn't help that I came after Venkat, who also speaks very fast. And so I'm kind of trying to keep up with him. What I want to look for, inlay hints, inlay, why does it always go to plugins? Inlay hints on Java, implicit types. I'm going to turn off the types for implicit, the hints for implicit types, because I only really want to apply var where it makes sense. And in this case, I don't want to put var because it doesn't make sense. One more thing I really want to say is that IntelliJ IDEA applies it where it's the, where it doesn't change anything that's going on under the covers. Here, you can't change this to var. And the reason why you can't change this to var, let me see if I can put the inlay hints back on again. Oh my goodness, what is happening with my keyboard shortcuts today? Let's turn that back on. The reason is that if I get rid of this type information manually by typing var, then you'll see IntelliJ tells me, you've just changed the type of this. You changed the type to list a list of objects instead of list of strings. So it actually won't let you do that automatically. It will always only do the safe things. It will only do the automatic conversions that IntelliJ IDEA does are always things which keeps the code doing exactly the same thing it did before. So if I get rid of that, that's why it doesn't let me turn this into a var. One more thing. I'm not supposed to be showing so much var. It's all about type information. If you turn this here, the type information is here. It's an array list of strings. It uses the diamond operator on the right-hand side. If I get IntelliJ to turn that into a var, it moves the string over to the right-hand side in order to preserve that type information. So IntelliJ will always do the right thing. It will never let you do anything which is illegal or changes the meaning of your code. Right, and that was just var. Convenience factory methods for collections. This is one of my favorite features in Java 11. So let's have a look for factory. It's as simple as, let's just do the shortcut of IntelliJ IDEA will fix this for me. If you did what you're supposed to do. In order to create an immutable slash unmodifiable list, you actually did an as list and wrapped it in an unmodifiable list. Then obviously that's a lot of boilerplate. And IntelliJ IDEA says, actually, you can replace that with a list.of. Which is very nice because it's significantly less code to type. That's kind of nice for array list. It's even more interesting for set because for sets, you always have to create a list and then put it in a set and then wrap it in an unmodifiable set. So IntelliJ IDEA, let me hover over so you can see what it says. And it tells you it can be replaced. this will only appear if you're using Java 9 and above. So you can replace that with a set of. That's cool. It's even more interesting for map because when you're initializing a map, you always have to put it inside some sort of static initializer and it just gets really kind of nasty. So you can replace that with map.ofEntries, which looks like this. Let me show you another IntelliJ top tip. If you want to change the formatting of a specific piece of code, highlight the specific piece of code, Alt and Enter, adjust code style settings. It will show you the settings that apply only to that section of code. I'm going to say wrapping and braces, method call arguments, and I can say, actually, I want you to always, well, no, I don't want to do that. I want to chop down if long. There you go. Wrap if long. This worked earlier. What's it doing now? Always wrap. That's kind of fine, except it's wrapped all of those things. Anyway, I can cancel that. The point is, if it's not formatted the way you want it to, you can use Alt and Enter on the code to format it the way you want. So that's kind of fine. So instead of having the static initializer, IntelliJ will automatically give you a map.ofEntries, and then each of these entries has to be an entry, which if you want to, you can simplify this by doing a static import for map.ofEntry. That's kind of fine. This is even better if you have fewer than 10. So let's give ourselves fewer than 10. Is that fewer than 10? Let's try that. And then IntelliJ IDEA will replace it with map.of, which is a bit simpler. This is where we literally just get key, value, key, value, key, value. So this is significantly less code than when we had the static initializer. And so we can use some of the nice new reduced boilerplate features in Java by just getting IntelliJ IDEA to apply those where they work. Okay, collecting to unmodifiable collections. I'll just show this really quickly. I'll show everything really quickly, to be honest. The streams API. In Java 8, you can collect to a list. In Java 11, you can collect it to an unmodifiable list. And IntelliJ will make that change if it's applicable. So that's useful to know. Right, let's move on. Oh yeah, one more thing from the Java 11 set of things. New methods on optional. Optional was a really nice thing in Java 8. It took a little bit of getting used to for me, but I do like it as a way of saying, you could expect a value or not, and that's a valid thing. Java 11 has a bunch of new methods to make optional easier to work with. One of those things is there's actually an isEmpty as well as the isPresent. Now, of course, it doesn't really mean anything because what you could do is you could just say not isPresent, but humans are really bad at reading nots. So if you have a not isPresent, you might want to replace that with an isEmpty instead. And IntelliJ will do the right thing and remove your nots. And you know that the code still works the way it did before because IntelliJ will only do automatic refactoring if it still does the same thing it did before. There are a bunch of other new methods on optional, which are really nice. I'm not going to show them, mostly because IntelliJ doesn't have any really cool things around them. But it's worth bearing in mind that there's new methods on optional, which are super useful. Okay, so let's move on to the Java 15 features. So Java 15 is a current release. It came out in September. The first thing I want to show is switch expressions. You might have seen some of these in some of the other talks so far. Let's look at switch expressions. Everyone knows what a switch statement looks like. If you are unfortunate enough to have to use switch statements for whatever reason, if you want to do something like assign to a particular value based on another value, you have to have this variable up here and it needs to be variable, it can't be final. Then you have to do this kind of nasty thing and then return that value there. If we wanted to do this with switch expressions, well, firstly, IntelliJ IDEA will say, oh, you can replace this with an enhanced switch. So I'll press Alt and Enter, say, yes, please, show me what you want to do. And it will do that. The switch expressions are much shorter. We use lambda expressions because we love having arrows in our code these days. It gets rid of all of our nasty labels and breaks. And you can do things like, if you had slightly more complex code here, if I Alt and Enter, I can wrap it into a multi-line block, and I can do something more, can't type today, complicated here. And I can get IntelliJ to move it up and down and do whatever needs to be done. Or I can get rid of that and say, does this work? Yeah, I can put that back into a single line. What else can I do? Well, I can now inline this because I don't need that variable anymore. And so then all of these lines of code here, they just got collapsed down into something which is just much more readable because there's much less noise in the way. This warning, by the way, is the fact that I have this code somewhere else. So that's as far as it goes. IntelliJ IDEA will let you do a bunch of stuff around switch statements and expressions, which is quite useful. So for example, you can Alt and Enter. You can create the missing branches for a specific enumeration, for example. If you have two branches doing the same thing, you can merge those cases into the same thing here. Then it tells you, oh, you don't need the default branch anymore. So you can basically get IntelliJ IDEA to do all the hard lifting for you. The reason why this is fun is not so much like, oh, I don't need to code anymore because I'm a lazy developer. It's more like, if I get IntelliJ to rework the code into a different shape, does that help me to understand it? Is it more readable? Are my colleagues going to understand it better? And if not, quite often, as if it works with this, no. Yes, and if it doesn't work, you can almost always just flick it back into the old way of doing stuff. So most of the operations that you'll do in IntelliJ, they work in both directions. So I can try out the new feature, go, oh, I don't understand this, and then switch it back to something else if I want to. Okay, so switch expressions. There's going to be a bunch of links in here where we write about these features in IntelliJ IDEA. There's one big link at the end of the presentation, which is in like 5 minutes time, where in that link, you'll be able to see all these links. So I'm just going to flick through them quickly. Text blocks is another feature in Java 15. Let's go to text blocks. Text blocks are the ability to write blocks of text in a nice readable way. So in the olden days, like up until Java 15, you would have to do something like this. You have to put your new line characters in. You have to escape everything. If you're using text blocks, which you can get IntelliJ IDEA to do for you, all you have to do is start it with three double quotes, finish it with three double quotes, and then you don't need to escape anything in the middle there. You don't need to escape anything. You can just type things in here the way you expect. You can even, in IntelliJ IDEA, you can inject a language and say, actually, this is JSON. So I want you to highlight this like JSON. And then I can kind of see, is this valid JSON? Is it doing the right thing? This is, I think, particularly helpful if you're using other languages like JavaScript. So let's inject JavaScript. And then I can get, even inside this string, I get code completion for JavaScript inside here. So that's quite helpful and is much more useful and readable with text blocks than it is with standard strings. Like I said before, everything is kind of reversible. So I can also replace it with a regular string literal if I want to. Text blocks. So those are the main standard features which are available inside Java 15. Those things are ready for production. You can use them now. There's a new idea about preview features, which I'm sure other people have spoken about during this conference. Don't want to go into it in too much detail, but preview features, try not to use them in production because they might change in the next version of Java. But you can play with them in IntelliJ IDEA by setting your language level to preview. Generally, in IntelliJ IDEA, we will offer preview features for the current version of Java, and sometimes the previous one. But we're not going to do it for all versions because it gets a bit hairy to maintain all of those things. So the most recent version of Java will always have preview features available. So that's setting preview features. You have to accept a warning to say, look, I know this is a preview feature and I probably shouldn't be using it in production. I'm just going to play with it and have a go. Pattern matching for instance of is a preview feature in Java 15. It looks like it's going to be a standard feature in Java 16. So it looks pretty ready to go. Let's look for pattern matching for instance of. This is a fairly straightforward, Venkat talked about pattern matching earlier on. This is a straightforward feature where if you have something like you have an instance of check and then you have a cast afterwards, you can get IntelliJ to use the pattern variable instead. So now we say this, and then we can use the employee as an employee instead of having to cast it. It's super helpful. You can even, you can run that inspection across your whole code base and just apply it across the whole code base to get rid of your casts. I think this is an underappreciated feature, which is available as a preview feature in Java 15. Records, which Venkat did show as well. Let's take a look at records. I'm going to do a really quick idea about records. Let's put something in here. I'm going to create a new Java class. I'm going to call it a user. I'm going to create it as a record, which IntelliJ says this is a preview feature. Then I get a new user. Then I get, obviously, IntelliJ IDEA doesn't error when I use preview features. That's useful. But it also gives me a whole load of useful stuff that I expect from IntelliJ, like code completion and things like that. So then I can have my, I can add stuff for my record. And this is a record, and it's ready to go. I can also do things like generate my constructor. IntelliJ supports compact constructors, so I don't need to use a full constructor for records. I'm not going to go into that in too much detail because I'm out of time. But IntelliJ supports records, and records are probably my favorite feature in Java 15. Sealed types is another interesting feature. Let's see if I can create one here. So let's create Java class. I'm going to call it parent. I'm going to make it, what can I do? So if I do a sealed class, then it says, let's do F2. Sealed class must have subclasses. Okay, that makes sense. So why don't I have a class, subclass, probably got one called subclass already, extends, what's it called, parent. And then it's going to give me the warning, which says you have to, if you're a subclass of a sealed class, you have to also either be sealed, non-sealed, or final. So, okay, fine. Which one do I want to do? Let's make it final. So I will use IntelliJ IDEA to help guide me through using those new features. I can also then, this is the thing Venkat mentioned in the last talk about how this is in the same class, so I don't need to do anything clever. But if I move this into its own file, let's move it into its own file, then I need to say, let's move into parent, Control-B, go into parent. And then I've got a problem because it says your sealed class permits clause must contain all subclasses. Does it give me? Add missing subclasses. So then it will automatically add permits subclass there. So so sealed classes are quite cool. And one of the things I like about IntelliJ support for sealed classes is that if I'm not really sure how to use them because I'm really new to them, it will say, you need one of these. Don't forget to put this over here. This is the keyword that works. And that's kind of what I expect from my IDE to guide me through these new features. So yes, great. I actually finished more or less on time. Let your tools do the hard work so that you don't have to do that. This is the link I was talking about. If you follow this link, you will find a page with these slides, with links to all of the individual blog posts that I talked about, and also to my other talk, Beyond Java 8, which goes into a bit more detail about pretty much everything. So this is kind of the, I think this is the go-to slide to go to. So that's it really. Hey, Bruno, I'm so surprised I came in on time.
You came in on time and I was muted. And I was like waiting for the queue and my StreamYard tab was off. And I was like, there was like 2-3 seconds of silence. And I'm like, oh, something is happening. I got to go back. So thanks for the queue, right, live on streaming.
This is what happens with live streaming. This is the reality of 2020.
I went to get my coffee and I came back before, but I forgot to switch the tab. Who doesn't have 200 tabs and forgets which tab you were supposed to be on, right?
I was really careful. I organized everything onto my different monitors. So I'm like, this monitor I don't have to care about. Everything I need is on these two monitors.
Speaking of multiple monitors, how does IntelliJ help developers with multiple monitors? Do you have like an ability to open another window and have the same file open on different windows?
I don't really use Multimon with individual IntelliJ windows, but you could. You can do tear out stuff, and you can do, you know, the Eclipse way of like having floating windows and stuff. You can do that with IntelliJ. I tend not to. I tend to prefer it. What I try to do is I keep IntelliJ in like code only mode, so I stay super focused. I use one monitor for like Slack, which is not a way to stay super focused. And then I'll quite often, so I'm sometimes using IntelliJ for web development or for, don't tell anyone, web development or for my blog or something. And so I'll have like the visual side on a different monitor. So that's kind of, that's generally how I use multiple monitors.
I see. I have two monitors here in the laptop. And what I do is I have PowerPoint, email, and browser. And if I can find, there should be a terminal window somewhere where I can play with code. And sometimes Visual Studio Code also, I have to check out a few things. It is quite a world. I think my wife and I, we bought multiple monitors, and I think everybody is like powering up their home offices with all the gears that they can get. I got a special mouse. I got a special keyboard. I'm like, what else do I need? I need those hubs that you put on the laptop so you can plug many ports as you can.
I've got a proper mic for my screencasts. I was thinking about getting a Ring Light because apparently that's the thing you need to do these days. But I'm already ahead of the curve because I've been working from home for like 7 years. So I already had all my stuff. So I feel like super ahead of the curve.
So why don't you have 7 monitors then? Like, you should be getting a new one every year.
Well, because my desk is limited in space. And I do get new ones, but I tend to throw away the old ones because the old ones either die or they're just like too low resolution and I don't want to use them anymore.